a grand old flag, it's a high-flying flag, it's the emblem for me and for you. It's the emblem of the team we love, the team of the red and the blue.
Oh, it was the grandest of flags, wasn't it, as Melbourne broke the drought finally after 57 years. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to breakfast. Anthony Hudson in Gary's chair just for a little while before he joins us from Perth with Tim Watson. Coming up on the McCafe menu this morning, Essendon coach Ben Rutten. He's going to be in the studio to analyse the grand final and chat the Bombers a little bit as well. But it's going to be all Demons, pretty much other than that. Bec Danaher, the daughter of Melbourne coach and the inspiration for the D's, Neil Danaher, will join us. And one of his great mates, Bill Guest, a longtime Melbourne fan and former vice president, passionate Melbourne fan, Nick McCullum. Sam Emmer's going to have the latest trade news because we move on very quickly. What, don't we?
We do.
Don't forget your calls too on the ENS open line, 1300 736 736. And the text, the temper text machine, 0433 98 11 16. How are you, Watto? How was your grand final weekend?
I'm good, and we'll have Garrity here too a little bit later in the show. I think around about 7.30. What have you been told this morning?
Oh, somewhere around there.
He sounded a bit raspy yesterday. He had another big day going yesterday. Not on the celebration source, but he was actually working again yesterday.
Of course he was. He's exhausted, Gaz, isn't he? It'll be really interesting
and excited
to see how he what the emotions are like for him over the next few days when he gets back. And in fact, for my Melbourne mates, yesterday they were just struggling to come to terms with it all still, you know, because you can't do. One of them went into the MCG and met a couple of friends and had a picnic in there.
Is that right?
Just wanted to go somewhere and be as close as possible.
Well, what did you do? If you're a Melbourne fan, what did you do? Yes. How did you link up yesterday? We know all the COVID restrictions. We know all about that, but it still doesn't stop you from wanting to link up and go for a walk or whatever it might have been. How did you celebrate with your mates, even in long into the night on Saturday night?
Yep.
I see some of the players went back out onto the ground. We'll talk about that a little bit later, and had a cigar. Did you light a cigar? Did you have a special bowl of wine that you just had sitting there in the cupboard?
Well matured after all this time.
That you finally popped on Saturday night. What a game. What an extraordinary game of games inside a game.
The momentum swings were just extraordinary.
If somebody had said to you pre the game, look, it's going to be a 74-point margin, you'd be thinking, oh, this grand final is going to be a stinker. Yep. But it was everything but a stinker.
In that third quarter, I mean, the level, as a commentator calling the game from here, I was just bursting and wanted to get there. Just like, it was great. And you just thought we were in for an epic final quarter. But then Melbourne really put pay to that, didn't they? In those last 45 seconds, kicking three goals.
It would have been a commentator's dream the whole game, because there were so many twists and turns. The ball was a lot. It was active. There was only a couple of moments there where, you know, both teams tried to sort of slow it down a little bit and play really composed footy. But most of it was just, it was a fantastic game. And I said to you before we came on this morning, like, one of the great things, apart from the fact that they produced on the day and Melbourne won their first grand final in so many years, but the way that they did it, the style of football for real football lovers of ball movement and scoring. And, for so long we've sort of been conditioned like, it's defence, 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 and you can't have attack without defence and understand that. But they've got this beautiful balance now where they're a hard team to score against and move the ball against, but they love to move the ball with instinct as well, and they're quite happy to kick it to contests and have chaos in their own forward line, that type of thing, and they still manage to kick big scores.
Yeah, there's elements of Richmond with the chaos, isn't there? But there's also their style of defence. And it was one of the points in, I did a podcast for the MCC talking to a few of the, like Mike and Dr. Turf. It was Turfy that made the point that he was nervous and was talking about the history and the tragic history of Melbourne. He was nervous and all that, but he said, you know what, I'm just so proud and excited about the way this team's played. And it gave him great confidence that if they didn't win this year, then they would win soon. And there's always that trepidation that any Melbourne fan's got. Actually, when I talked to one of my mates yesterday, Jimmy, I'll give him a shout out because he's an Irishman that came to...
Morning, Jimmy.
Came to Australia.
Will he be listening this morning? Does he follow you wherever you go?
I'm not sure if he'll be up at this time, but he might be. But he's just, came to Australia a long time ago and embraced. In fact, his son Sammy is 18, and one of the things about this flag, the kids that are 18 that about that age. They've lived pain for their. They've lived Melbourne pain. If you think about what that 11,
Most
supporters you get to that age and you think, it's not like you've lived it for 50 years and you've. But they've lived the pain. So they used to have a mercy rule. They would get to, they'd work out, they'd go to the footy, watch Melbourne, and at a certain time in a game, right, we're going to get the train and we're going to leave because it's just too hard when your kid's that age, in 2012, 11, that sort of period. Yep. But for them to come to terms with the fact that they've won the flag, it's like, what persona is a Melbourne fan's going to come on now, going to have now?
Let's take this call. We'll take your calls right throughout the morning this morning. If you're a disappointed Doggy fan, we want to hear from you as well. If you're an excited Melbourne fan, we would love to hear from you. Sam's jumped on the line. He's in quarantine in Sydney. Good morning to you, Sam.
G'day, Tim. How are we going, mate?
We're going okay. You're a D's fan. How exciting was that?
Well, considering I've been on my own in a hotel, I wasn't too bad. I've actually just got back from America.
Oh, okay. So you're spending your 2 weeks in quarantine in Sydney?
Yeah.
And you're a mad Melbourne man?
Oh, well, mad Bombers fan, but I switched to a mad Melbourne fan real quick.
What a game it was.
Absolutely. Halfway through the third quarter, I've just gone, oh, no, here come the Doggies. And then they've just gone bang. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary turnaround. Hey, how many more days have you got in quarantine?
Too many, Tim.
How many?
I've got another 10.
Okay, if you get really, really lonely, give us another call, Sam.
Give us a call. Once we're ahead at 736-736. Your views on the grand final and how you experienced, particularly if you're a Melbourne fan. That third quarter, as you talked about, Tim. What as you remember back, what were the pivotal moments, do you think, in the game? Like, when Bontempelli got them 19 points up, and the Bulldogs had had a real period where they'd owned territory and it looked like they had control of the game. But Melbourne were just, I mean, that was a beautiful, great bit of play from Harms to get through and kick it out in front of Bailey Fritch. But yeah, there was some just huge moments.
That moment, though, I went back and watched it yesterday because I was thinking, how did this game turn the way that it did? So I went back and watched it. It was that stoppage. So it was just slightly in their half.
Yep.
And it was Jack Viney who actually burst through.
Was,
so he got on the move, right? So he decided to be proactive. He didn't actually take possession of the ball, but he moved the ball with his body. And then Harms got the ball. It was a beautiful kick to Fritch. Then Jackson went into the centre bounce.
And just the Harms kick, he dictated that.
It was
Fritch.
A magnificent kick.
Yeah.
It was a beautifully placed kick. But then Jackson changed with Gorn and went into the ruck for that next centre bounce. He got a tap to advantage. They moved. That was the next Fritch goal. And then he got the ball the next time again to advantage.
Yep.
That was the goal to Ben Brandt. And then they were away after that.
Yep.
Then they completely obliterated the Bulldogs around the centre.
The stuff out of the middle was amazing. Jackson was, as you said, we wouldn't have anticipated. I mean, he has done that a few times this year, but you wouldn't have anticipated that going into the game, that it was going to be a period where he was in the middle of the ground and doing it.
He's 19 years of age.
Yeah.
He's still 19. And not just the work that he was doing, you know, when he jumped to contest the ball, but when the ball hit the ground, if you go back and watch, it's his follow-up play. Like, he becomes involved in the passage of play. That last goal that was kicked by Clayton Oliver in the third quarter,
yep.
I think it was the last one that they kicked.
Yes,
the one
was.
Out of the centre.
Yeah.
It was he that followed up, picked up the ball, and then shot the handball across to Clayton Oliver. So
yeah, English wrote it. English won the, actually won the tap, but it was towed forward by Viney to Jackson, who bounds away, handball to Oliver on the run. Awesome goal. Crazy.
Greg's
and
in.
And Pacheco.
Hopefully Greg's a Melbourne fan. Greg's in Israel. Good morning, Greg.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, we're going well, Greg.
I can hear my voice is kind of gone. I watched it in a sports pub yesterday in Tel Aviv. And, kind of don't really have any voice. But I just wanted to talk. The game's incredible, obviously. So many moments. I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I guess, what it means. I guess I'm 28. I grew up as a young kid in the mid-2000s. And I saw, actually, on the morning of the game, on the Melbourne social media, there was a video of past players, you know, wishing, you know, good luck and to all the best to the team. And, you know, guys like Clint Bizzle and Brad Miller, Paul Wheatley, like guys like that, you know, who aren't exactly big names, but for me, they were my heroes, you know, growing up. Yep. And obviously they weren't the best players of the game and all that, and they didn't quite get there. But just seeing, you know, the connection between the past and, you know, for me, I went to the footy with my dad. And we would celebrate those wins. We would celebrate wins as if we'd won a grand final, you know, like just like that. And I guess, you know, you talk about tragedy. My dad lost one of his best mates who would come to the footy with us, you know, his early 40s. You know, I was obviously thinking about him and all that. Now I've moved overseas, but the connection, you know, my connection with my dad is through footy and through the Melbourne Football Club. And we were on FaceTime through the last few minutes and texting and people, you know, texting me, people like friends from all around, you know, Australia mostly, texting me like congratulations. And I was thinking, you know, on the one hand, like, what did I do? I haven't done anything. But honestly, like, Melbourne supporters, we deserve congratulations just as much as the players, coaches. Anyway, I'm being serious because we have put in so many hours and emotion into this club and we deserve it just as much as the players and coaches and everyone. Honestly, I don't really have words to describe what this means. And, you know, it's just footy, but it's not just footy because, you know, so many, it's everything. It's family, it's friends, it's connection,
Yeah, fantastic, Greg. And I think, you've summed it up to a degree because of the pain that there's nothing like a drought-breaking premiership, isn't it? Really, like we've had such a great period of it with Sydney Swans, Geelong, Bulldogs, Richmond to a degree, and now Melbourne. Unfortunately, it leaves the Saints, really, doesn't it? And that's going to be massive when it happens.
I think Greg did an amazing job of actually explaining the emotion that goes into being a supporter of a team that has suffered and struggled over a long period of time. And it's a bit like finding unknown family members when you discover how big your football club following is and who you're connected to. And through the emotion of supporting, you know, for a team, and he's quite right, it's actually more than just a sport. It really is the connection in football.
David's in East Bentley. G'day, David.
Hi, guys.
Morning.
Just a quick one. My father's 73 years of age, and on his 40th birthday, he got one of those bottles of Premiership Ports. And he said back then, he said he won't open it until we win one. So on Saturday night, 33 years later, he finished the bottle off. And just on the game...
How is he?
Correct me.
How was he the next morning?
It's all right. I asked him what it tastes like after 33 years, and he said, yeah, it tasted all right. And on the game, correct me if I'm wrong, but there wasn't one 50-metre penalty paid.
No, I think you're right. And the umpires actually analysed a couple of those incidents and didn't pay. Like there was when Gorn went down with Caleb Daniel, they held the whistle and decided that Gorn had sort of contributed that himself.
There was a couple where the player moved a little bit on the mark as well.
I think there was one where he jumped straight up though, and the umpire said, "No, you're allowed to do that."
Yeah, there was one involving Pickett as well, because I had Pickett as well, which was marginal, but they let it go. Yeah. You're quite right. I can't recall a 50-metre penalty being paid. Someone else sent the message in that, you know, the dominance in the middle late in the third quarter. Bontempelli was on the bench, very stupid. John from Boronia. I think they tried to get him back out there, because I watched the third quarter again, and it was mentioned in the commentary about how Bontempelli had been...
It was the two centre bounce goals where he was on the bench in a row, 59-52 and 59-58, and the score was that he was on the bench before they could get him back.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes a bit of time to actually get the player back onto the ground.
It is one of the most frustrating things as a supporter. It really is when your absolute gun is off the ground.
It's frustrating, I'm sure, for the coaching staff as well.
I'll ask Ben Rutten about it later on, what it's like from the coach's point of view.
It's going to be actually great to talk to him out at 7 o'clock this morning, because we'll get a coach's perspective of the grand final. He's going to be with us from 7 right through until 7:30 this morning. Our first opportunity to speak to him in a long time.
Hey, we're here for Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and Garage Doors Redefined. 4ddoors.com.au. There's always one, Tim. Michael, it was a boring grand final. One-sided game, to be honest.
Oh, Michael, you couldn't have been watching the grand final. You could not have been watching the grand final. And I've got the reason as to why. why Simon Goodwin didn't get to speak on Saturday night too. I got to the bottom of that yesterday.
Okay, thanks, Baz. After the break, a MaxiSeal sealer from the grand final. It's the MaxiSeal Premium Silicon Sealants. Smoother, faster, better.
Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Jackson goes over, hand pass to Salem. He's sniffing a goal, and he's found it as well. Salem on the downhill ski.
Oh, that was the sealer for MaxiSeal, the choice of builders, tilers and corkers for silicon sealing jobs. MaxiSeal, the perfect finish every time. And don't forget the caller of the year too, where you could win a 2021 Toyota Hilux Rugged XV at over 75 grand. Toyota Hybrid Technology leading the way for a cleaner, greener future. Welcome back to Breakfast, 25 past 6. Gaz, he'll be with you soon. Not quite sure how soon, but
we don't know when.
He'll be with you soon as we celebrate and look back on what was an incredible grand final. Michael pointing out, and I mentioned it, that he sent on the text that it was after three-quarter time this became a boring game because the Dogs weren't able to stop the run of goals. But it was so brilliant up until that moment, that level of excitement. And you heard Christian Salem's goal there, Tim. They were all trying to get in the act, weren't they?
As the sealer.
As the sealer. There was a lot of sealers.
There were a lot of sealers. That 93-point swing in that game.
Just astonishing.
The most remarkable thing, you just didn't see it coming.
No.
Like, it wasn't one of those games where, and even at three-quarter time, I thought, okay, well, they've got one last kick in them.
But you didn't see the Bulldogs coming either,
no,
did you?
No, like, not
Melbourne
after quarter time.
Really dominated that first quarter. The Bulldogs were very unsure in the back half with the footy, weren't they?
Yeah.
Very unsure.
And I think they were testing them because during that second quarter, they really got the ball out of the centre as well. I mean, that's obviously the best time when you're facing a six on six. Been a couple of text messages about the game as well. Why didn't Cody Waitman have to go off with the concussion rule after whacking his head on the goalpost so hard in the first quarter? I'm sure they would have tested him.
Yeah.
Given his recent history. I'm sure they would have done that.
You would have thought so. And I was worried that Oliver was going to have to go off there when he clashed with Bontempelli. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It ended up that he hit him on the shoulder, so he's got the all clear, I think, the Bont. But I mean, that's just like how in a grand final, if suddenly you have that concussion.
Well, it happened very early in the Melbourne Storm game. We haven't even spoken about the Storm's performance on Saturday. I was gutted watching that game. I had a bad feeling about that going into the game.
You actually told me on Friday off air that you had a bad feeling about it.
But they lost Welsh and then they lost Smith.
Yeah.
And
just their lack of...
They didn't have the energy and
their ball handling.
Finishing. Like those... in the first half, they had Penrith scrambled.
Yeah.
And then they dropped the ball, and then they actually went over the line for a touchdown. Not a touchdown, for a touchdown, but watch the NFL, for a try. And that was disallowed because obstruction or whatever they call it. I think it might have been Finucane that got in the way of a Penrith defender. But, that was gut-wrenching.
And they scored late, and you thought they were still a chance.
Well, they were then, because there was still time, but they just couldn't get it together. But went under unbelievable. They are still an unbelievable team, unbelievable club, and they've been on the road for a long, long time. So, and you know, we shouldn't overlook the fact that the Bulldogs, the way that they were going to have to win the flag this year, that would have gone down as the greatest premiership in the history of the game, given the obstacles that they had in front of them.
Yeah, and it would have, but they were 19 points up midway through the third term. I wonder if they ran out of steam. It's hard to know.
We'll never know the answer to that. Quickly, Andrew's in queue. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, guys. Just wanted to touch on two things. How happy the kids are to watch the game. Watch with my kids and caught up with nephews, and they're just cock-a-hoop, you know, after so many years of going to games with me. I'm just so happy to see them with a massive smile on their face.
How did you celebrate, Andrew?
Oh, you know, I live in Kew, so a bottle of champagne in the park was absolutely brilliant. And I also thought it's worth touching on Angus Brayshaw in the third quarter. I thought his mark going into the forward 50 after about three or four efforts and then just kick that goal, really important part of the game.
It's a really good point. Interesting to talk to Gaz about it later. He had a really good interview with Angus in the rooms, And Angus said he'd only kicked two goals for the year, and he'd been working really hard on his goal kicking, and he was very happy with himself in the right way that he'd been able to kick that goal. I think he was really proud. I mean, he's played that wing role, Tim, as you've discussed many times, and sometimes you just don't get much of the footy. And this is a guy who'd come third in the Brownlow medal 3 or 4 years ago, and he'd lost his form and then lost his place in that midfield. But to come out and have like 25 touches or whatever, Chris raises off the SMS as well as Andrew, our caller. He could easily have got a vote in the Norm Smith. That third vote was up for grabs,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah. It generally is that third vote up for grabs. Yeah. But Caleb Daniel, I think he might have got one vote in there from somebody for the Norm Smith. His first half in particular was unbelievable. Before we went to the break, a lot of people have been wanting to know how Basil could have overlooked Simon Goodwin giving a speech on Saturday night. Now, I did a bit of research on this yesterday. It's really a theory based on the fact that I know Gary really well and I've worked with him for a long time. And when we get into the quiz, Gary starts waving his arms around because he's sick and tired of waiting for that to be over. I got a feeling, I've just looked at the vision. It's a little, if you can see just off the side, I can see his arms waving. I think he's put Basil under so much pressure that Basil thought that he had to get to him so that he could present the cup.
That doesn't sound like Gary to me.
that he's missed the Goodwin speech.
Are you making excuses for the mayor, eh?
Yeah, I am. Can we get the Goodwin speech? Did he make a speech anywhere? Like he was on programs he was interviewed post-game, wasn't he?
Yesterday or something.
So he got the opportunity to say what he wanted to say. Well, but the moment was missed.
The moment will never come back to him.
Because I know he's got speechwriters.
Yeah. Yes.
Goody.
You know he's got I do know that.
You know he's got a speechwriter.
And the speechwriter would have been particularly
disappointed. The speechwriter would have been sitting there in Melbourne thinking, my big line's about to come, and it never arrived.
Hey, that's a great point. I hadn't thought of that.
We should put a call into the speechwriter and find out what the line was, because Roosey went with...
Here it is.
Yeah. And Croft?
That's what I'm talking about. You're testing me this early in the morning.
And Choco?
To the Alan Scott, you were wrong.
I'm sure that
that's
they...
That's one of the great... Alan Scott, you were wrong.
I'm sure they had something lined up.
Because his speech to the Hall of Fame was magnificent, wasn't it, Simon?
Yes, well, the speechwriter had a piece in that as well. Let's go to, we need to get to...
The news headlines.
We do.
Hello, let's get the headlines from Alex.